Bibles to Matthew 6. Matthew 6.
Matthew, the 6th chapter. Focusing your attention at the end of the chapter in verses 33 and 34. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Good morning. It is absolutely great to see you today. And may God be praised and may you be encouraged and strengthened from our time together as we examine God's Word. When we put our worries and cares in the hands of the Heavenly Father, God, our Father, puts peace in our hearts. Don't forget that. When we really place our cares and worries in the hands of our Heavenly Father, He puts His peace into our hearts. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, the Word of God says, "In nothing worry, in nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus." See it? When we place our cares and worries in the hands of the Heavenly Father, when we truly do that, He places His peace in our hearts. This is a lesson everybody needs, including this preacher. Sometimes are you prone to worry? We're only cooking up trouble when we fret and worry and get anxious about tomorrow. But it's quite easy for anyone to do just that, to fret and worry and to get anxious about tomorrow. I was thinking the other day, Costco opened not too long ago in this area. Many of you have probably already gone by. I went with a number of our family members and was absolutely overwhelmed. But one of the things I thought about while in Costco is you can't buy manna in bulk. Think about that. You can't buy manna in bulk. You can't go to Costco, you can't go to Sam's and get manna in bulk. And as a matter of fact, when you go back to Exodus 16 and verse 21 and Psalm 78 and verse 24, as they speak about manna, God provides. What is it? It's some wonderful bread of heaven that God supplied for the children of Israel while they wandered in the wilderness. You'll also remember Numbers 11, verse 6, where the people said nothing but manna. In other words, they're looking down on God's gracious provision. You and I, sometimes because we're control freaks, don't really want to give our anxieties completely to God, our worries. And as a result, we really don't have His peace in our hearts. Now, I know some of you are probably thinking, well, preacher, now that you put it that way, I'm going to be worrying about worrying so much. Well, good. This passage is for us all, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. And the need that we have to trust in our great God, who richly supplies all that we truly need. Philippians 4 and verse 19. You can't buy manna in bulk. You need to enjoy His blessings from day to day. Remember what happened when some of the children of Israel tried to hoard extra manna? It spoiled, it rotted, didn't it? It would be something that they ought to appreciate every day as coming from God, despite their sin, despite their obstinance and hardness of heart. How gracious God is to provide. What I'd like for us to do is focus on Matthew 6, 25 through 34, and hear the words of Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Because the Lord talks about four specific areas that God's people should focus on if we would avoid the fretting and the anxiety and the worry that often can eat us up. Four areas upon which to focus. Look, if you will, at Matthew 6, 25 through 27, and hear what He says. He says, focus on the birds. Focus on the birds. Three times in this section, verse 25, verse 31, and verse 34, the Lord specifically commands, do not worry. It's not merely a suggestion, it is an imperative, a command. Do not worry. Because God provides. And what He does initially is say, don't worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear. Don't worry about your life. And then He says, focus. You may have the word see or behold or observe. He says, observe the birds. And five words are priceless here that you can mark in your Bibles. Your heavenly Father feeds them. We live in Midland, Texas, where there's not a great deal of rain, nor would one necessarily think there's all kinds of food for birds. But fat blue jays abound, don't they? And dove season can occur, and I think every dove comes to the city of Midland knowing that it's a safe haven in dove season. And they are robust. They are as healthy as they can be. Think about the variety of birds. Robins, sparrows, finches, even out here in this part of the world. And how rarely does a morning go by when we do not awaken to the sound of the birds singing. Consider the birds. Focus on them. Your heavenly Father feeds them. How much more will our heavenly Father take care of us? Maybe sometimes when we are fretting, anxiety-filled and worried about the future, all we need to do is look at creation. At our house, we have a cat called Cinnamon. When our youngest granddaughter, Ellie, was little, she called him Meemon, and she couldn't say Cinnamon, so Meemon. I have never liked cats at all. And for some strange reason, in our married life, it seems that we've often had a cat. We've often had a cat. People kid me and say, well, is this cat yours? And I say, no, it's not. We feed this cat, but it's not ours. Then they ask the question that really puts me on the spot. have you ever taken this cat to the doctor? And the answer is yes, and I have spent hundreds of dollars. Then they smile and say, that cat's yours, Mike. That cat's yours. In the wintertime, this cat has been known to eat 3 cans of cat food a day. 3 cans a day. In the summer, it's about 1.5 cans, Waylon. Okay? But the cat loves children. And all of our grandchildren have been able to put Cinnamon in a headlock and carrying him around. All of them have been able to pet him, and Cinnamon just drools because he loves them so much as they love him. All you got to do is look at creation. Cinnamon doesn't worry about where his next meal's coming from. He doesn't need to worry about things if he needs to go to a doctor. He has proven himself to be very useful because every now and then I will shoot a squirrel out of a pine tree because they're like a buzzsaw on pine cones. Zzz, zzz, zzz. And Cinnamon will go and retrieve the squirrel and bring it to me. He is a golden retriever, I guess we could say. He is kind of yellowish as a kitten. But look at creation. The birds don't worry about where their food tomorrow is coming from. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Every biology textbook could basically say that. Our heavenly Father feeds His creation. Now look, if you will, at the next verses. Verses 28 through 30. If we really are going to not worry and place every care and every worry in the hands of our Heavenly Father and know His peace in our hearts as a result, here's what Jesus says. He says, focus on the flowers. Focus on the flowers. Again, I think about our area, and one doesn't have to travel very far at a right time of year to see blue bonnets everywhere. And how beautiful and majestic they are. Even here in our area, there are wildflowers that are just absolutely breathtaking, are they not? There have been times when Cherie and I have gone to Sibley Nature Center on the other side of town at just after a rain that came at just the right time, it seemed, and to see the field full of all kinds of wildflowers. Over the years, I've been blessed to go to places like Holland and to see tulips in full bloom. So many varieties, so many colors, just overwhelming. And Jesus says, look at the flowers. Consider their beauty. Think of their fragrance. Think of how colorful they are. And he goes on to say, even Solomon was not arrayed like they are. And then he says, the God who clothes these flowers is the same God who clothes you. It's interesting. The first word means consider that was used of the birds. And now here of the flowers, the idea is observe and learn the lesson. Observe and learn. There's this idea of get it. Yeah, got it. Good. Because this is going to bless you. Face the fact that we ought to focus on the flowers. Sometimes I get so wrapped up in my fretfulness and my worries and my anxieties that I don't see the flowers. And I don't see the birds and hear their sweet music. And they were created to remind me that this is our Father's world. And that He values us even more than them. Look at verses 31 through 33. Here, the Lord. He uses another word for focus. Seek. See that in verse 33? Seek. Focus on the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Number three. Focus on the birds. Focus on the flowers. And you could almost envision this as Jesus is preaching this lesson, that He might point to some birds or He might point to the flowers. And then He says, focus on the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let's analyze verse 33. The passage begins with a contrast, but. It begins with a contrast. It continues with an action, secondly. Seek. It includes a priority, number three. First, but seek first. Fourth, it designates an object, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The kingdom of God, that God is king, that God is sovereign, that God reigns, that God is in control. What a rich, rich verse this is, because what follows is a conditional promise. And all these things shall be added to you. What things? Life, food, water, clothing. Those things. Seek first, focus first on the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You look at this particular sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, and really it's a sermon all about righteousness. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be filled. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for my name's sake, Jesus would say. Matthew chapter 5 and the verses 20, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll in no wise enter the kingdom. Matthew chapter 6 verse 1, be careful, take heed, not to do your acts of righteousness merely to be seen by men. And here in Matthew 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. What a sermon, what a theme, how to be right with God. But you know what? If you really stop and think about those passages, here's some questions. Jesus is dealing with the fact that there are few things that will measure how much we really value eternity the way our view of material things will. there are few things that really show how much we value eternity that really show how we value eternity as the way we view material things. Look at this in context. Matthew 6, 25 through 34 is preceded by Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Our priorities are a matter of who and what we treasure. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Look at verses 22 and 23. Our priorities in life are a matter of our vision, our insightfulness, our discernment and judgment. Look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Our priorities in life, our values in life, really display who and what our master is, Matthew 6 and verse 24. None of us should want to be mastered by the material stuff, things. But none of us should want to be mastered by worry and fretting and anxiety either. What is that saying about our trust in God? Focus on the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Do you always hunger and thirst after righteousness? Always? Probably not. Do you always suffer gladly and willingly for righteousness' sake? Probably not. Does my righteousness and your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 5:20? Does my righteousness sometimes, is it being done to please men and have the approval of men more than that of God? Probably sometimes. Do I always seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Oh, friends, the answer to all that's being said by Jesus in the sermon is the one who's preaching the sermon, because He always hungered and thirsted after righteousness' sake. He would suffer for righteousness' sake. He would be the one who would have a righteousness that exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees. He'd be the one who would give and pray and fast, and He never does it to be seen by men or to be applauded by men, but to praise and honor the Father. And He is the one who constantly sought first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, even when it would take Him all the way to the cross. Everything in this sermon ought to convince us of how much we need Jesus, how desperately we need Jesus. The kingdom of God and His righteousness. Number four, look at Matthew 6 and verse 34. I love this passage and I am glad that it follows verse 33. Focus on today. Focus on today. Focus on today. That's what Jesus says. Again, you have for the last time this injunction, do not worry. Don't worry. Focus on today. Don't worry about tomorrow. And here's something to think about. I love the fact that Troy, in the shepherd's remarks to open our assembly, referred to Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. Adam referred to that in the Lord's Supper meditation. Aren't you glad that the steadfast love of the Lord will not end tomorrow? His steadfast love and mercy will be present tomorrow. Now, there are several of you that have a number of children. Cherie and I were blessed with two. Grandchild number five will be here real soon, seems like. We're grateful. But I want you to know that as grandparents, our mercy will come to an end at some point with our grandkids. Our mercy came to an end sometimes with our children. David would love to talk with you about that sometime. But not only is that true with us, I suspect it's true with you. Sometimes those of us who are parents, our mercy comes to an end. God's mercies don't. We can count on them tomorrow. If we see tomorrow, God's going to be a God of loving kindness and steadfast love and mercy. Shouldn't we really say, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Psalm 118 and verse 24. Shouldn't we say we will not harden our hearts today? We won't be overwhelmed by worry. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 through 19. But we will hear His voice and we will respond. Look at the passage in verse 34. First of all, you've got the command, do not be anxious about tomorrow. It follows that word, therefore, or so. And then it gives a reason, for tomorrow will take care of itself. If we see the next day, we can be confident that God will be a God of steadfast love and of tremendous mercy. And we can rejoice and be glad in the day that He has made. We can be confident that His grace will be sufficient for the day. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9, my grace is sufficient for you. Think about those six words, my grace. It's not Mike's grace, it's God's grace. My grace is sufficient. It's enough to know that if we see tomorrow, His grace is sufficient for us, No exceptions. When I worry and when I fret, when I suffer from anxiety attacks, it's because a big part of me wants to know what's next, what's in the future. I'm glad that I don't know. I hope you are too. To know who is the one who is in control of the future is enough. It is enough to trust Him today and not to worry. It is enough to live in the knowledge that tomorrow, when we see a new day, as most of us likely will, that it is a gift from God and His grace will be present and His mercy and love too. Everything revolves around who God is and what God is like. And the thing that amazes me the most about this teaching of Jesus, and there's a lot of things, but this is being said by the one whose entire mission was to come and die on a cruel cross and bear our sins so that he might bring us to God. If anybody should have lived in constant dread and terror of an approaching day, it should have been Jesus. But Hebrews 12 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God." What an amazing God we have. And so we can look at every day with optimism and hope because Jesus has come. And we can be right with God because of Him. One responds to Jesus in love and humility and faith when one comes to Him desiring to have their sins washed away at the point of baptism. Acts 2:38. One puts on Christ at the point of baptism. Galatians 3:27. One has their sins washed away at that point. Acts 22:16. Trusting Him, loving Him, humbling ourselves before Him. That's what happens at the point of baptism. One is added to the body of Christ that was talked about in the Lord's Supper meditation in Colossians 1 and verse 18. You know, sometimes though we come to Jesus and we struggle, we're human. And I believe that worry and anxiety are areas where many of us struggle. Amen. Sometimes those of us who think we worry less are some of those who worry the most. Just depends on what the thing is. God always knows what's around the corner. He will never say, "I didn't see that coming." No one in all the world can say that but our God. And He is the one who says, "I will make sure that there is mercy for the day, loving kindness and grace." He richly supplies all we really need. Let us stand and sing.